I told Pastor, I'm speaking on Acts 9 today. Acts 10 comes after 9. The first verse of 10, maybe next week he'll speak on that. There was a rock band back then. I don't know what their name was. But Cornelius was part of it. Verse 1 it says, Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. So they had bands back then too. But anyway, you young people and everything, you're doing an excellent job with the worship. And it thrills my heart to see them up there and learning to worship with the gifts God has given them. Because I know as I started out in the worship, it was an awesome thing. And I had some people there to mentor me and help me along. And there was a couple from down at Kokomo that was really, they were excellent worship leaders. They used to come up and do meetings when we had revivals. And they would let me sit in and play with them and sing with them. And that was so awesome. And there's nothing like doing it that'll improve you. You could learn about it and you can get the head knowledge, but that won't do for like doing it. And I'll get ahead of myself. I'll tell you a story right now. We're going to see about Saul here. Saul was a very religious guy, doing what he thought God told him to do, doing the work of God. And that was killing off them people the new way, getting rid of them. And he was very faithful in doing that. And we even know before that, he held the clothes of those who stoned Stephen and watched Stephen go to heaven. And he was a precious man. He stood there, looked, said, I see God standing at the altar. And it just infuriated him, and they stoned him to death. And Saul was even in on that. Very religious man, doing his duty, going through Jerusalem, and now they're even heading around, heading for Damascus. We got to get those Gentiles. We got to kill them too, if they're part of this way. And this is an awesome story with God. It shows me when God works on both ends, that's when we need to hear what God's saying. When He works on both ends, it really works good. I mean, He tells you to go see somebody, He's working on with them too. And something will happen and you will go, wow, that was awesome, so easy. When we work with the Spirit of God and we hear God, it'll work that way. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to get back here to this group. I praise God for them and what they're doing and leading us into the throne of worship. And just going off and worshiping God. Sometimes forget the words and the music and just worship is really good. Because God, a hymn and a song and a new song he talked about. I think the new song was what really touches his heart. The song that comes right out of here, comes right out of our spirit and touches him. So I praise God for what's going on here. It made me kind of nervous when I left, and I know I was working with Brad and a bunch of them, and I was kind of nervous what was going to happen. And yeah. And I'm really thrilled, and I've been praying a lot for him. That's a lot of load on him, I'm telling you. That's the reason God gave me the word about his hammock, that he could just come and rest in his arms, and he would give him rest. So that word's for all of you this morning. So Acts chapter 9. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, God's a God of suddenlies. I need a suddenly right now. Robert, I was with Robert McKinney this week, and we talk about suddenlies. Suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Here, I know there's, I was talking to Pastor yesterday, a couple things here that I know this ain't that important on what we really believe, but some things that we hear a lot of times that we just take as truth and we repeat it. And I've been guilty of doing that on this myself. Said Saul was going along minding his own business, killing the people of the way. And God knocked him off his horse or off his donkey or off his camel. I've heard that preached a lot of times. To the ground. And I don't see anything about any animal here. He could have been walking. He might have been on an animal. I don't know. It could be. It's a possibility. But we've heard that. I mean, I've heard that, and we just take that as gospel. We need to learn to read the Word and study the Word and see what the Word says, not what Dan Donaldson says or some preacher somewhere, and see what God actually says. Another thing here that I've been guilty to say that I see here is the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Tell Saul that. He's going along minding his own business, doing what he thinks God wants him to do. At least that's what he thinks. And I'm sure we need to learn to hear the Holy Spirit when his voice is gentle and in a gentle wind, like Elijah. My electronics is leaving me.
Yeah, hook it on my belt there. Belt's got to be worth something.
There, that should work.
And I'm sure he had talked gently to Saul before, and Saul probably hadn't listened. And he had a plan for his life. And so he's heading for Damascus to take this killing out of the Jews, but to take this killing into the Gentiles and continue on with that. And so this gentleman, Holy Spirit, knocks him flat on the ground and blinds him and speaks to him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Which is actually Jesus speaking. And this is what excites me. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? Why did he say Lord, I wonder? I think he knew. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I think of that statement there. I can remember one time, I think of the pricks of I got all kinds of briars and things, you know, that I was out on my side mushroom hunting this spring. My brother gave me a grabber thing so I could grab the mushrooms. And I went by some wait-a-minute vines. That's what I call them. Multiflora rose vines. It's got the hooks, looks like a fish hook. I could feel my arm move. I mean, I got no feeling in it anyway. This whole left side went on vacation here, December. I could feel it move, but I didn't know what was going on. I got back up to the house, and there's blood running all down my arm. Holly said, What have you been doing? I said, The wait-a-minute vines got me, and I didn't wait. So kicking against the thorns or the brick. Another time I was hunting, walking through the woods, and a thorn, a big thorn from a thorn tree, was on a little limb, and I stepped on it, and it flipped up from behind and stuck right into my Achilles tendon. And I'm telling you that hurt. So what Jesus says here is true. You don't want to kick against that kind of stuff. That hurt. I had to sit down and I couldn't even walk. I had to pull it out. And then just the poison off of that thing hurt like crazy. So you'd be out of your mind to kick against that. But that's what Saul's doing here. He's kicking against God, and that's much more powerful than any thorn. So God talked to him, and he says, Lord. And Jesus said, I am the one you persecute. Quit persecuting me. And he trembling and astonishingly said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Good question. Not go on with your own thing. Find out what God wants him to do. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Just continue to listen to my spirit. Go on into the city. Those men that was round there with him stood speechless, it says, hearing a voice but seeing no man. They heard God's voice, but they seen no man, and it made them stand speechless. And this is the great men of God. I think, boy. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he was blinded by this great light. He saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight. And neither did eat nor drink. Then we get the music and the curtain drops. And we change the scene. Verse 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision. So the Lord gave this Ananias a vision. He's a Gentile. He's just a guy. We never hear of his name again. We never seen it before. And he's in Damascus. And he must hear the voice of the Lord. Which amazes me. Sometimes we as Christians have a hard time hearing the voice of the Lord. Here this Ananias heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. He said, Lord, again. I thought that was awesome. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might remove his sight. Now you notice here the instructions both ways are right to the point and all the little details, everything's given there. What they should do, where they should go. Exactly what they should do. And they were both obedient. That would be like, guys, I think, in the modern time here, you're at sleep and you see a vision. You hear God speaking to you. He says, Saddam Hussein's going to come and you need to pray for him and heal him because he's a new one in the way. What would you think? That's what Ananias said. He says, But God, I've heard of this dude. And he's been around killing all of us. But he was still obedient to do what God told him to do. That is awesome. And we know because of that obedience, we've got 2/3 of the New Testament. So God had a... When God has to take the two before and knock you down, or the light, or whatever you use, He's got... There's a great job for you to do. So you better hear the small voice and obey. Because Saul had quite a job to do. And he's going to find out what that is. I want to ask you guys a question. What would be the best this morning for you to hear a prepared sermon, even though the Holy Spirit worked with me in a good sermon, or to just sit here and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do? You know, we're studying Acts. Acts is the Acts of the church. We should be doing Acts. And praise God, we heard some of it this morning. That's awesome. A couple of testimonies and a message in tongues and interpretation. That's doing it. We need it. And prophecy, we need that. It'd be much better if I just sit here and shut up. Said, Holy Spirit, come. Do what you want to do with this group. And we'd have church, I'm telling you. So this is what I want you to do. Because Saul here was obedient. Ananias was obedient. I only have half a diaphragm. I run out of air trying to talk. Boy, you miss your mind and you miss half your body when it's gone. I'm telling you. And I opened my mouth and told the pastor that a while back. And I was still thinking pre-stroke. Then I tried to get out of here the last week or so. I said, I can't handle the Bible, can't handle the mic. And I really wasn't thinking of that when I told you I wanted to do that. He said, you're going to do it. Yeah. Wouldn't let me out. So here I am. And it would be tickle me the most just to see the Holy Spirit come and touch each one of us and move in a mighty way than me giving a good message. We've got too much good intelligence up here. We need to be preaching and we need to be hearing in the Spirit and operating in the Spirit. And the testimonies we heard this morning about giving people words and praying for people out there, that's where it's at. And we need to be taught. And we're here to teach and to learn together right here. How could we fail here amongst all of our brothers and sisters and our friends? Now I know what you're thinking. I know how I used to be with my brothers and sisters. My older sister, me, always used to gang up and pick on my younger brother. I'm surprised he made it as good as he did. So, but brothers and sisters should love one another and go to bat for one another. So what I'm asking you to do, and I don't want you to stand, I just want you to sit up so you'll be comfortable. We're going to sit here for about 1 minute, and I want you just to listen to the Lord and see if you hear a name that somebody needs prayed for or somebody needs healing, or if you get a word or you get something, and then be obedient to do that afterwards. We'll see what happens. So just listen to the Lord. Let's do what the Lord wants to do this morning. Let's be the book of Acts. Let's keep writing it. So let's do that. Just sit here for about 1 minute. I'll watch the clock up on the wall. Learn to hear the voice of God. Didn't know a minute was so long, did you? There were 1 minute. You know, in Revelation there, it says there's total quiet in heaven for, what was it, for an hour or a minute? What was it, an hour? And it's really strange just to sit and be quiet. But we need to be like Elijah, hear the voice of the Lord. So did anybody hear something that they want to be obedient, follow through on? Well, you want to pray for somebody? Did you get a name? Did you get a prophecy? Did you hear a word from God? And you don't have to make sense of it. It won't make sense to you. You just need to be obedient and give it. I'm going to give you a chance to do that. I think we'd see the Holy Ghost move much more than me finishing out my message. And I want to see that. I know the pastor's heart is we want to see the body be the body. And if you can't do it here, you're going to have a hard time doing it out with somebody you don't know. Rick? Okay. See, that's what Ananias was told. Jesus spoke to him then, "But go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to me," when he was saying, "Hey, he's the dude that's out here killing everybody. He's to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." Here's a great, if this calling is on Saul, how would you like to hear this prophecy? "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." How would you like to have that prophecy given over you? I mean, there is times we are going to go through the fire. But the good thing is we are the fire.
Yes.
Our fire should burn brighter than the furnace. We could be like the three men, Michael, Michelle, and Azariah. I like to use their real names, not their Babylonian names. I'm so sick of that Babylonian mess. That's what's been operating in our country these last few years. So I like to use their real names. They were in the furnace and having a blast. Yeah. I mean, could you imagine that? Walking around. This furnace was a big hole in the ground, and they had it all filled full of wood and stuff, and they had it so hot that the guys that threw them in got burned up. And they're in the fire. And if your trust, Veer, and our trust is in Him, the furnace and the fire won't matter. The fact of the matter is He'll come and walk with you. And you can dance. Praise God. Anybody else hear anything? I know I've got my total restoration. Yes, I agree. That's what we need, to see the manifestation of it. So I could jump up out of this chair and leap. We're going to see that later in this chapter, or what's done and what the power of God can do. So Sean set the direction to go last week. I listened to his message last night. He was talking about grace and mercy and power. He was talking about power. And that's what Acts we're talking about, is the power of God being manifested. Not just talking it, but the power of it being manifest is what we should be doing. So anybody else, you're right on. Yes. Get her, Lord. See, when you operate like this in the body, it says, let the prophets try the prophets. You know, there's times that maybe we don't hear God, but if we never practice, we ain't going to get there. But don't be afraid of that. How many would know that if I miss God, it would be glad that people would come to me gently and say, "I didn't think you heard Him right on this." And we discussed that and talked that out so that I would learn to hear His voice. So that's the reason it's good to do it here with those around. But don't let that, I know sometimes you get knots gets in your tummy and you don't want to speak up. Anybody else? Terry, way back there. Amen. 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 See, I just want you to learn that you can, we did this down to HOF. We got together in gangs, about three or four. The pastor wanted us, even the kids, the little kids, wanted had us wait a little bit and hear God, then speak a word to one of the others in our group. And them little kids come up with some of the most awesome prophecies that you could imagine. They were great. See, I want you to know you can hear God. And what Terry's saying, once we and hear both Saul and Ananias was obedient. See, it don't do any good to hear if you're not obedient. If we learn to be obedient right away, that's when the power comes. Faith is action. So when God tells us something, we learn to be obedient to Him. That's like I told you the example that is Ray Hughes did it. Set a guitar, acoustical, up here on a stage, right in front of a monitor. And then they had to work with the sound a lot so they wouldn't get feedback. Then they put a mic on the guitar itself, put a mic real close to the strings, so it wouldn't pick up the sound off the monitor. Then he sang in another mic and he hit the note A, and that guitar started vibrating in A. And he says, that's the way we should be with the Lord. Instead of having to run it through, praise God, I don't have much gray matter up here to run it through anymore. I told the pastor this morning, it has to be the Holy Spirit speaking this morning, because I lost most of my gray matter. It died on December the 17th. And a neurologist tells me it won't come back, that the new cell, the rest of the cells, brain cells, have to learn to take over what that part did. Because I ask her, I says, what does that do? Just stay up there and rot in my head and ruin the rest of my brain? She just laughed at me. She didn't comment. I know God can restore that. I don't care scientifically and medically how it's been. I mean, He's above all that. He's not in that realm. He's not in that dimension. He's in all dimensions. He's above all that. He's not held by the rules and regulations here on this earth. Hey, He created it. He made it. And He controls it. And He is God. And He loves you. And He loves me. He even loves Saul after he was out killing his people. I mean, what an awesome God. And He loved Ananias, a guy we never heard of. He loves us all. So if we trust Him, why be scared to be obedient to Him? Especially if He's working on in the whole deal. We see what happens. Great things happen. Ananias went to his way. See, he took right off and went after he heard Him. And he entered into the house. He didn't even question it. He just took off and went. God told him what to do. Verse 17, he entered into the house and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, brother. Brother Saul, this guy that's been killing Christians. This is like the prodigal son, the older brother. And we're going to get into that now because we're going to see a lot of these teenagers and a lot of these rough people get saved and get changed. And we don't want no part of them. Here he calls Saul brother. Brother Saul. We got to learn to accept them. The older brother didn't want to accept it, that the mercy and the grace that daddy poured out on the younger son after he'd squandered everything. We got to get over that stuff. If the prodigals start coming back in, we got to receive them. We got to love them. Even though they've been with the pigs. So he laid his hands on him and said, even, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee. See, he knew God told him. In the way that thou comest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, another suddenly, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight forthwith and arose, and he was baptized. And I also imagine he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened and was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. He went right out there, these same guys he'd been killing. He became one of them. He lost all his fear. We sang about being no fear. I am a child of God. That's an awesome song. couple of the songs we sang, you were right on, Brad. We sang, we were singing a God's Love City. The winds, we the eagle, like eagles. The one verse we was given in Isaiah, it says, those who wait, we sing about waiting on the Lord, that's what it was. Waiting on the Lord will rise up like on wings of eagles. We've got eagles coming around here now, but they're not real thick. But we've got turkey buzzards and chicken hawks. They're big birds, and they don't look like they should fly very good. And they can just put their wings out and let the winds just carry them. They just soar effortlessly. So if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you will soar effortlessly. And it won't be hard to be obedient and do what God tells you to do. You'll just do it because you're soaring on the winds of the Spirit.
Yes.
And it ain't your strength. It's His winds that lift you up, like that one song says. And so obedience is better than sacrifice. So what the word was given back there, we need to be obedient. We need to learn to hear. So did anybody else hear anything?
Yeah.
Hunger for Him. Long for Him. Hunger for Him. You will feel His presence. His presence is here. You know, it should be when a whole bunch of His kids get together, the presence of God should be in the midst. In fact, as He says it will be. But you can be out there on the tractor or washing dishes or in the combine or working at your machine, and His presence will be there too if you're hungering for Him. Won't it, Holly?
Yes.
Holly got a word from the Lord working one night about our youngest son. It was an awesome word. He was off doing not what he should be doing, and instead of using his musical ability for God, he was playing in bars and doing stuff. And she heard God ask her, "If you would ask, what would it be if you could ask me a couple things, and know that I would definitely do them? One of them was that our son would get back with the Lord." And this was on her 50th, her Jubilee year. And the other one was something, I forget what it was, more about finances or something or other, I don't know what. They both came true. Our son that year had a vision, just like Ananias here. And God came to him in a dream one night, shook him to the core. He come in to worship practice the next day, and he'd had hair clear down to here, and he had cut his hair off. I didn't even recognize my own son when he walked in the back door. And now he's a worship leader at a church up in Mentone. He can play an awesome guitar and sing, and there's anointing on it. Because we went down to rehab in Kokomo. I was sitting down there rehab, or I was not sitting, but I was in the training room where we were all in there. They were giving us our exercise and doing things. And one day, and there's another guy down there, he liked worship songs. He said, "Danny, what's that song you were singing yesterday? Let's sing." And we started singing. And Phil was down there that day. I said, "Phil, we just need your guitar here yet." He says, "Hey, Dad, I brought it. It's up in your room." So he went up and got his guitar. Come down, started playing guitar. We started worshiping there in the rehab room. Next thing you know, nurses were coming by, sticking their heads in the door. The whole hospital heard, "Hey, there, we had a flash worship there in the St. Vincent's Hospital." And God moved in a mile away. We quit there one time, and this one lady was running a machine with her hands like this. She said, "I feel all warm and fuzzy inside." And God really moved because of the guitar and the worship. And the guy that ran the place, he had kind of a frown on his face. I thought, he's not liking this. But he didn't run us out anyway. There was people coming in, walking in the door. And it was, we really had a good, a flash worship's what we had. And so listen to the Spirit like these guys did and do it right away. Don't run it through the great metal. Learn to be obedient like the guitar. When he sang the A note, the guitar didn't worry about, am I going to hit the A? Am I going to do it right? It just automatically started hitting the A note because of the vibrations of the A note he was singing. That's the way we got to be. So a few weeks later, Phil came down again and he brought his guitar. I said, let's go down and do that again. It didn't work near as good when we had planned it and done it. It's what it did when God just did it. It worked, but it wasn't near as anointed. You could tell that it fell flat. So these two guys heard God and they put action to it. Acts. The book of Acts. The book of the church. Why did we quit writing it? Where did we quit writing it? When did we quit writing it? It still should be recorded. Brad, Mark, Rick, and Dan went into the Memorial Hospital. Is that its name? Rochester. Woodlawn. And emptied the whole hospital. And there was a riot broke out. You know, they wouldn't like that. I used to tell them in a jail, when I was in a jail ministry, if you guys would all get saved, and we'll all get out of here and get out of the system and not do the reoccurring thing and whatever, make Jesus real in your life and totally get changed, we would put a lot of people out of business and they'd be mad. They wouldn't like it. They would be mad. Same way with the hospital, if you emptied the hospital. And all of a sudden, in the paper they wrote, there was a worship and a praise mob out at Walmart on Saturday. And there was a bunch of Christians out there worshiping and praising. And the power of God came and people were falling down. People were getting healed and all kinds of crazy things happening. That would be the great we have on the headlines of the paper. Those people of the way are getting nuts. They're causing riots and doing, you know, this Paul, Saul, who turned into Paul, everywhere he went, there was either a revival or a riot. They got thrown in jail, you know. Robert McKinney, him and me used to be just like this. And when we was with each other, we both felt emboldened. And it got crazy when we went somewhere, didn't it, Rick? Speak a word to people and break out and laughing and doing stuff. And we got out of a service one night, and some ladies come in and said, Danny, you got to go out and help Robert get in the car. He's laying out there on the ground. And so I walked out there and I thought, he's not fit to drive because he's drunk in the spirit. So I walked up to him and I felt the Lord tell me I kicked the driveway stones on top of him. I just kicked some stones on top of him, turned around and went back into church. And I didn't do anything for him. I don't know how he got home. He told me later, he says, Danny, he said, after you did that, I was thinking about that. I just lay in there thinking about that. And God says, are you willing to be stoned for me? Stephen was. Are we? If we sell out and go like what was given of here, there's times there's going to be a furnace. There's times it's going to get tough. You may get thrown in jail. I'm telling you, this year is going to be an awesome year.
Yes, it is.
We could write Acts this year. Because, man, 2016, 16 is man's number. Six is man's number. Man tried his way last year. We've seen what a mess we had. Seven is God's number. This is 17. God's going to have His way this year. We just need to, like the classes we had, find out what God's doing, like these two guys did. Find out what He's doing and join Him. See what part He wants you to do in it. And do it. Do your part. Even if it ain't big. We're going to see God move in Rochester. And we'll be making headlines, which is not the reason we're doing it. But, I mean, why not let the church draw attention to God? What's wrong with that? You know, we're supposed to be tolerant. We're not supposed to make any problems. Tell Saul and Paul that. Tell the Holy Spirit that when He knocked him on the ground. So let's do Acts this week. I was good to hear the testimonies.
Amen.
Anybody else hear a word or a verse?
Somebody's having pain from the back of their hips.
Who's that? Pain in your hips and down your leg when you stand up.
The back of your legs, it feels like the tendons are being pulled.
Don't be embarrassed, because God does that. He wants to heal you right now. Get Him, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lower legs, the back, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
The power of God would strike them right now. Yes. Right there in those areas. Yes. And be healed completely in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that more exciting than listening to me? That's the way church ought to be. I know what it feels like. I've got my biceps and triceps right now. They all, see, they got no brain telling them what to do. They're all ball pulling at the same time. That don't work. That definitely doesn't work. Okay, Terry. I receive that, Father. That neurologist will get her pen out. She'll stick me and I go, ouch! She wanted to know whether I had feeling. I said, I don't know. I got a little. She took this pen, put it between her fingers. So it stuck out about that far. She goes, bong, 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 bong. And then up my arm and hit me in the cheek. And then she hit me over here. I go, ouch! But I never said a word when she hit me over there. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. That's what I feel I'm going through it for, really, is to show the power of God to His people. And to give us all faith. Thank you, Terry. I receive that. Mark? His mighty men. Hallelujah. Men of power. One of those guys, he got so sick and tired of being robbed by the enemy, he took a stand for his pea patch. You're not taking my lentils anymore. And he just slay a whole bunch of them. Over the pea patch, because he got tired of it. Church, when are we going to get tired of the enemy?
That's right.
When are we going to get tired of this Babylonian empire? Trying to rule us with the spirit of the Antichrist. Say we've had enough. That's like I told Holly on the Star Trek. Captain Kirk had the guy down on the floor that had killed Spock. The Klingon. And I said, this is what the church needs to do. He said, he was in the door there and it was a long ways down. and he's trying to kick him out the door. He said, "I've had enough of you," and kicked him out. And that's what we need to tell Satan. We've had enough of you. We're going to be the Book of Acts. We're going to be God's children. We just sang, "I no more fear, I am a child of God." Do we really mean that? We don't have to have any fear when we know we're in His hand. Praise God. That's one of the songs that Phil sang down there that day in the rehab place. Brad?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God, it's for Your glory. Amen. Through this thing with Saul and Ananias, God got the glory. Look what happened. Saul was faithful, and he went through a lot of persecution, like was prophesied, like Jesus said. But look at all he wrote and the faith that he gave us because of his faithfulness. And then another side of that is that I was talking about the prodigal son, is that even Saul, as bad as he was, God loved him, changed him, saved him, and used him. Young people, it doesn't matter. You've made mistakes and in your life, and you think, "Boy, you don't know what I really am. God can't use me." Yes, He can. He used Saul. He'll use you.
Yeah. Amen.
Same thing with adults.
Mm-hmm. All of us. Us adults has just got more to remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sure does. The prodigal come back and the father was watching for him. And he was trying to think, like I heard, who spoke that? That what he was going to tell the father and everything, he never had a chance. Daddy come a running up and grabbed him and hugged him, put the robe on him. Love will overcome everything. Yes. So church, rise up. And if you have failed, you know, when we get to talking about virtue and all the things we want you to walk in and on, you think, "Man, I've already blew it. I'm past help." No, you're not. God will use you mightily. He will clean you up and you'll have an awesome life from now on. We had one of the most wildest services I was ever in down at Morningstar. Ray Hughes was speaking, and he was speaking about the virgins dancing in white and about how we're pure after the power of God, the blood of Jesus washes us. And he says it didn't matter whether physically you was that way or not, whether you have failed, but God wants to wash you, cleanse you up, and let you start over again. Praise God, it's a brand new day. That's what I was thinking this morning when I come up here. It's a new day. His mercies are new every day, every morning. Hallelujah. But anyway, after Ray preached that, they started worshiping. And that's the first time and the only time I've heard angels sing. And the angels come and started singing. You that are in music, you know what overtones is. Man, I heard overtones and I heard harmony that I've never heard before. It was beautiful. It was awesome. Because God was just showing us He wanted to clean us up. And I know we fail. I dealt with a young boy. I worked in the Miami County Jail for 26 years. I dealt with a young boy down there. And they called me in, I don't know, several times a week. Because he was suicidal. He'd made a mistake, as a lot of young people do. Old people too, I mean, not just young people. He had got drunk and they tried to stop him down in Kokomo. He decided to run. He took off up the Highway 31, and they put a roadblock at 31 and 18. He hit a state trooper and killed him. And he was just, oh, if I could do it again, if I could just do it over. The past is the past. We can't do it over. But God can clean us up by His blood.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the cross. And I worked with that kid, and he accepted Jesus, and he did good. I think I got a letter from him several years ago that he was still doing all right. So it don't matter what your past is, like Saul. Matters whether you're willing to say, yes, Lord, who are you? I want, and like it was, the word was given, I hunger for you. And I want that love that overcomes a multitude of sin. And that's where I want to live. And I want to be the church. And I want to touch my friends' lives. I want to be able to pray over them and see your power work in them and through me. That's what it's all about. You wouldn't hold everybody in this church if we all went out and just did everything the Holy Spirit told us to do this week and to be the church. Because I keep asking, what's wrong with the church? What do we don't have now that they had then? Because this is the very beginning of it here. And there was a lot of persecution. We see they got killed. Are you willing to do it even if you're going to get killed? See, I have mixed feelings about that. I'm a fighter. I want to fight, but I'm fighting the wrong battle. I should fight spiritually instead of my AR. But I think there's a time to use it too. Like Rodney Howard Brown says, when they come after me, he said, I'll be have my AR in one hand and I'll be praying in tongues at the same time. You know. See, what do you do? Here's a chant. Then later we're going to find out. After Paul preached and preached, his name's Paul now, and was it him or was it Peter? No, it was Paul. Peter. It came to pass, verse 32, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. So there, God had them all gathered together here in one place, and they're performing the works of the Holy Spirit, and there's great things happening. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make your bed. And he arose immediately. Hey, he didn't go through rehab or anything. He hadn't walked. Since I've quit rehab, I've been losing out. I know I am. I don't have the strength now. I can't force myself to do what I should do. I need to. But anyway, I know right now that it's got to be God that changes me. But I know the nurses down there, we had a discussion about that one day, about that we should try to do our part, God to do His part. Some people, she says, just lays back and waits on God and doesn't do anything. But this guy had never walked. He couldn't have a muscle whatsoever. His legs was probably that big around. And he got up and walked, picked up his bed even. Verse 34, Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, maketh thee whole. Arise, make your bed. And he waited 2 days and got up. And he rose immediately. And all, just like you said about, I hope that's the case with me. And Peter said, and all that dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. That's what signs and wonders is for. to bring the unbelievers to the Lord. So you start laying hands on people, the pain start going away and things start happening. It's going to bring people to God and the church will grow and we'll be in Acts 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. She was a good woman. And alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. Whom when they had washed and laid her in the upper chamber. Verse 38. For forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa and the disciples was heard that Peter was there. Why did they think they have to go get Peter? Why didn't they just do it? They weren't listening to God that good, was they? They sent unto him two men, desired him that he would not delay to come to them, because they knew he was the one that miracles was happening. So we tend to look to man, and it's not man anyway, it's God that does it. So what did Peter do?
39.
He arose and went with them. And when he came, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the windows stood, widow's windows. The windows stood by him weeping. And showing forth the coats and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. So here we are. They came and they're in the room and they're all, oh, she was a great woman. She made this. Look at this embroidering. Ain't this neat? They were looking at her as dead and done. So what did Peter do? Verse 40. Peter put them all forth. He kicked them out. He didn't want that unbelief around. And he kneeled down and he prayed. And turned him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up when he had called the saints, and the widows presented her alive. Not the windows, but the widows. And it was known throughout all Joppa that many believed in the Lord. Here again. And Pastor Larry told us down there years ago, every time you go to a funeral, ask the Lord, is this the one? Well, I was almost afraid to ask that question, that he would say it is. I mean, how many of you had wanted to get a hold of that person and say, awake in the name of Jesus at a funeral? That would, you better know you hear God. That's what Peter did here. And what happened? Many came to the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. You'll have revival when that stuff starts happening. Heard about a guy in Indonesia. He was a pretty great man of God. And they used to put him up on poles and a thing way high and lay him up there. Let him lay there. And I think they burn him later. And he come in there and one of them, the first thing he saw was there was a corpse up on one of these things. God told him to pray for him and raise him up. And he said he fought that like crazy. I know the feeling. And he did. And the guy come back to life. And guess what? They had revival. There was many of them came to the Lord. So we just have to be here and then be faithful and be obedient to what God is saying and rely upon the wind of the Spirit. Realize that it ain't me doing it anyway. It's God doing it. It's my faith in Him. Jesus has already done it. He just wants us to be like Him, just to speak it forth. I know another thing, this ending here, but when we're praying for, sometimes we get all religious. We go through this big prayer, start talking about a bunch of stuff for God to heal the guy. All you need to say, what did he say? Arise, take up your bed and walk. And here Peter said, arise, Tabitha, arise. There was no big, long religious prayer. Speak to the issue. Pain, go. In the name of Jesus. You've got the authority with Jesus in you. If we're going to be acts, we've got to realize that we are ambassadors for Jesus. And we carry the power. The power is in us. It isn't us, but it's the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And we just need to speak to the situation. And it will change. And we will shake this town of Rochester.
Yes.
This year is going to be awesome.
Amen.
They're going to be gathered around the courthouse. Going to be making the news. Things is going to happen this year.
Yeah.
As we become the book of Acts.
Yeah.
And I hope they mention New Life, but I hope they mention the whole church. This is the whole church together. We ain't any different than any of the rest of them. The Baptist or the Methodist or the Pentecostal brothers and sisters. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to do it when we work together and we are in unity. And that's what Pastor said is happening now. Up at the top, and that's great. We need to pray for Pastor prayed earlier for Friday, that inauguration. We need to pray for a breakout of the Holy Spirit. That God just comes and shows Himself. Wow. That's what we need. So we need to be praying. Don't quit praying now. The battle's just on. But we are the winners. Saul was a winner and Ananias was a winner. Because God was working. He'd already been in the whole situation. He's in the present, the past, and the future. At one time, He knows what's happening. So if He tells you to do something, why would you question doing it? Because we know what the results is going to be. And if it isn't, it's His problem. So don't get under a cloud. I knew I'd ramble tonight, today.
How are we doing on time?
Huh?
How are we doing?
Well, like I say, I'll close. This will be my first closing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I needed to quit. It really isn't what I'm saying that counts anyway. It's if you get it in your spirit that you are a child of God. There's no fear in you. And you can do the same thing these guys did. Because God's He don't put one person above another. And that if you're obedient like Saul and Ananias was, you'll see a huge change in the world. They changed the whole world. Just because they was obedient. That's what you need to know. You need to get in your spirit. And that the blood cleanses you. And God will use you. He used a murderer here. That's what Saul was doing. Was killing the children of God. And God used him mightily. And you need to be able to accept those kind of people. Ananias, he questioned it. But he accepted it. And he was obedient. And the situation changed. Saul became Paul. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he went around, shook up the whole Gentile world. Him and Peter really shook things up. And we can do the same thing here. Why not Fulton County? Why not Miami County? Why does it have to be Florida or Toronto or Seattle or whatever? Why not here? Praise God. I'm glad to have you guys. Yes, Joanne.
Well,
a Susie. Is there a Susie here that needs healed? There evidently is one somewhere. Okay. Thank you for your obedience. Yes. Yes, just like Saul, Putin can be changed.
Exactly.
Hallelujah. Holly and I was in Russia, and then I was in Russia one other time. Doing evangelistic work. There are some beautiful people in Russia, I'm telling you. Some awesome Christian brothers and sisters. That would be great. We just speak that in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
That's something else, too. If you get a word We did this up at Toronto one time. We'd just sit and listen and be quiet. Somebody would give a word, then we'd pray it out. Because the word comes in order for us to take action on it. So, Father, I just thank you for touching the people of Russia. Touching Putin's life. Get him saved and filled with the Spirit. And we just thank you and praise you that we'll be able to work with them. And we'll work against this Babylonian spirit that's running around the world, trying to take over the world. We know it's going to bring the last days. It's going to bring a final battle. But Father, we know you're in control. And we want to send many to come into the kingdom before that happens. So we just pray over Russia. Pray over Putin. And speak the power of God in their lives. We pray that over the Muslim religion. We know you're showing visions to them. We hear testimonies that you're shaking them to the core, just like Saul. And we just pray that you continue to do that.
Yes.
And bring them into the kingdom.
Yes.
They're Abraham's sons too. And we know you love them. So we just speak that you love all tribes and tongues. You died for all of them. And we just look for an awesome move of God this year. Not only on these Western countries, but over there in Europe and the Middle East and Africa. That you move mightily, Lord. That your power would go forth. Many would be raised from the dead and healed. And the Spirit of God would be seen and felt and manifested in a mighty way through your church. Through your sons and daughters. We are the church. We are Jesus here on earth now. Thank you for obedience. Let us be the Sauls and the Ananiases. Let us be obedient. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come back next week, and I think you're going to be on Acts 10 then, are you? You'll hear about the Italian band.